with me tonight. Acts chapter 6. Have these lights on? We're going to look at verses 1 through 7 for our text here. We'll get to that in a second. We've all heard the saying many times, and I believe the saying is true, but the saying that all of us have heard, no doubt, is that everything rises and falls on leadership. With proper leadership, things move along, things can get done, and without it, often nothing gets done. There's confusion, and that's the way it is in business life, that's the way it is in a church, that's the way it is in a family. And we find that God's purpose and God's plan is to work through leadership. And we see this to be true in the church at Jerusalem, which we're going to read about here, that leadership was the critical key in this passage for the development of what happened and what was coming. Let's go ahead and read in chapter 6, verse 1, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Now, I'm going to be looking through, actually, chapter 7 and also into chapter 8. We don't have the time to read all of that here tonight, but it's all included in what was happening in the life of this church. And what I want to talk to you tonight about is leadership, but not just leadership, leadership from within. That's where we're going to go tonight. And it's very key and very critical in the life of a church, having leadership from within the church itself. And I want to, first of all, point your attention here to verse number 1. And we find here, first of all, the need for leaders. Verse 1 says, "In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." Here's the need presenting itself for leaders. Before we get going any further, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless His Word tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd give direction and leadership tonight through Your Spirit. As the Word of God is preached, and Father, I pray that You'd speak to our hearts, challenge and encourage our men, Father, towards this responsibility of godly leadership, and Father, to consider the effect and the impact that it can have in the lives of other people, in the life of a church, in the life of a nation. Father, that just we see again that everything rises and falls with leadership, or the lack thereof. And I pray, Lord, that You'd speak to our hearts tonight in areas that we need to be challenged in. Father, I pray that we'd be submissive to it. Father, in areas where we need encouragement, I pray that You'd strengthen and lift up. And Lord, we do pray tonight for Brother Fort and the serious health issues that he is facing and the ramifications of it. And Father, there might be some who are discouraged, who are feeling helpless or hopeless. And Lord, I pray that You'd strengthen and encourage that family tonight. Father, that You are always good in all that You do. And Father, that You always have a great purpose, even through the trials and circumstances of life. Their spiritual good and the glory of God that can be found in it. And Lord, we just pray tonight that You'd bless, as we consider this subject here tonight, grow us in our faith. Father, grow us in our walk with the Lord, and encourage our men to be
godly leaders. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so first of all, we said here, verse number 1 shows us the need for leaders. We found here that in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. Now, this number, or this multiplication and the growth of the church was probably the reason for this neglect or this issue. The number of the saved had grown very rapidly, and so the work of administering help to the needy no doubt was becoming increasingly difficult. I mean, you can imagine the way things worked for them and the mass numbers of people. It'd be easy to simply overlook some things. And when there's a lot to do, sometimes things go undone. The membership was probably in the thousands for the church at Jerusalem. Just consider the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 says, Acts 2:41 says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them," that's the church, "about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." You see here the great number of people. And because of that, no doubt some of those daily administrative type things went overlooked and neglected. The complaint here in verse 1 was that the Greek-speaking Jews were murmuring because their widows were neglected. And like I said, I'm sure it wasn't willful neglect, but one of oversight. But what I want to draw your attention to here is sort of interesting to note here is how full of care this early church was about the interests of their own. You understand, the whole issue here was that some of things were being neglected, but it was related to their own and their care for them. And their needs being met, and so on. And that's an interesting thing to make note of, that these people wanted to remedy the situation quickly, and so they came to the apostles for some answers here on how to do this, because murmuring was coming about. And that's a great thing, to be full of care for the physical needs of your brothers and sisters. I'm so glad for those who are willing to be there physically for one another in a church, but there's also many spiritual needs that people have in a church, spiritual needs that need to be dealt with, and all too often, the saints of God are nowhere to be found when it comes to helping with the spiritual needs of one another, or to even consider the spiritual care of one another. We need to consider one another. We need to pray, listen for spiritual care for one another. I was saying it on Sunday. We need to hold each other's feet to the fire, but sometimes we also just need to care for one another. But when life is so busy, and we got this plan and that plan, and we're so consumed with and wrapped up within ourselves, we don't ever even take the time to think that my brothers and my sisters need me to pray for them. Someone could be hurting. Someone could be struggling today. And I need the Lord to put it on my heart to have the spiritual care and concern for each one of my brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's one thing to be there physically, you know, and if there's a physical need, any one of us would be there in a second if we could to help meet that physical need. But what about those spiritual needs? What about the spiritual care one for another? How often do you pray for your brothers and sisters in the Lord? We don't see the attacks. We don't see the struggles that each one are facing. But if we love one another, ought we not to be full of care for the physical and the spiritual needs of one another? Do you pray for your brothers and sisters in the Lord? You bring their names before the throne of God, saying, "I don't know what's going on with them today. They may be having a great day. I'm just going to pray for each each one of my brothers and sisters. There are times when the Lord lays somebody on my heart, particularly, and I don't know why, but I just need to pray for them, and I'll often will send a text. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. Thinking about you today. Just praying for you today. Just wanted you to know. And I don't know what that will mean or what that will do, but often this has happened. I'll get a reply back that says, you don't know how much that means to me. I've been really struggling with something today. Thank you. Amen? Full of care for one another is so very important. We're talking about the need for leaders. There was a complaint here, and the complaint was that some things were being neglected, and they wanted to fix it. They had care for one for another, and they wanted to fix it, and so they came to the apostles. Well, we find the remedy for this situation in verses 2 to 4. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The remedy here was that they were to choose out men who were full of the Holy Ghost. They weren't to choose out preachers out of the church. They were to choose out laymen who were full of the Holy Ghost amongst themselves. And there was a need for men to be filled with the Spirit of God. That was the qualification. Two important things that we note here. Number one is that the ministry of the Word of God is more urgent business than other ministry work within the church. The apostle said it's not reason that we would leave the Word of God to serve tables. We're going to continually give ourselves to the ministry of the Word and to prayer. The ministry of the Word is primary inside of a church. It's a more important or more urgent business than other ministry of the work. Nonetheless, the principle that we find here is that even in the simplest of work, the Holy Spirit of God is needed. Note this. What are they talking about? They're talking about ministering and caring for one another, and the qualification was that these men would be full of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter what area of service you are involved in, the Holy Spirit of God is needed for it to be done properly. Okay, are you a Sunday school teacher? How often do you go before the throne of God asking for the Holy Spirit of God to give you direction and leadership and wisdom and empower you to serve Him in this ministry, in this capacity? How often do you pray for your kids? Sometimes your big kids. As a Sunday school teacher, how often do you lean hard on the Holy Spirit of God for that ministry? You sing in the choir? It's real easy to do that by rote, by habit, by sheer talent, right? How often do you, choir members, ask the Lord for His power and His Spirit before you get up to sing? Maybe you're just on a church cleanup team. Just. All these things are necessary. They're necessary things. But the requirement is that the Holy Spirit of God is needed in order to do it properly, to do it with the right heart attitude, to do it so that it's a blessing to the church and to the Lord. Maybe you play in the orchestra. You ask the Lord for His grace, for His ability, for His Spirit. The point is here, the apostles said, you need to look out men among you who are full of the Holy Ghost. For what purpose? To serve tables. Just to serve. It doesn't matter what area of ministry we're in. The Spirit of God is needed. Look what the results were once this was done. So there was a need here. The apostle said, you pick out men who are full of the Holy Ghost to fill these service spots. And the result was, verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and here's the result, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. What was the result here? They chose Stephen, who was a man full of the Holy Ghost, and the great result was that the word of God increased and people were saved. These men that were chosen to serve, they were not chosen because of social status or scholarship or anything else. They were chosen because they were filled with the Spirit of God. And what was the result from that leadership within that body? The result was that the Word of God increased and people were saved. And I'm telling you, folks, that there's a need for leadership from within. There needs to be men who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Not just the preachers. Not just the deacons, there needs to be men, a whole church full of people, full of men who are filled with the Spirit of God. We are in need of that very thing today. We need men who are walking with the Lord in their own personal life. We need men, listen, we need men who are willing to separate themselves from this world and unto God. Men who have a burning desire in their soul to do right and to walk with God. There's got to be a drive in the soul more than anything else that I love God and I love His Word and I want to please Him and I'm going to walk with Him. And I don't care about anything else. Hey, we love to live in Alaska, and I love it. There's all kinds of stuff to do, but you know what? I love God a whole lot more. And if I need to do without enjoying some of the pleasures of Alaska, I will. If I need to do without some things, some toys, I will. If I need to get rid of some things, by God's grace, I will, so that I can walk with my God. There's got to be a burning desire in your soul, men, to love God with all of your heart. To separate from this world, to be faithful to Christ. Men who have an intense desire to have the great power of God resting on their life. Listen, so that when you go to the grocery store, or when you go to work, or when you're at the gas station, the Spirit of God is in your heart and in your life, and the Spirit of God can control you and direct you and point you to people who need the Lord, and you can be filled with boldness to preach the Word, to say a kind word, to be directed by the Spirit of God. Talk to that person. Give them a gospel tract. Say something. Pray for this person. Call up your brother or your sister in the Lord. Tell them you're praying for them today. You're thinking about them. You need the power of God and the Spirit of God to direct your life. Do you know what that means? I'm going to take this off. Will you turn this on, please?
Do you understand what that means? Think about it. Let's just get real for a second here, okay? I'm not mad. But I'm very practical. What good is the Word of God if it's not applied in our life? Let's just get real for a second for how we live day to day. We know Galatians 5:16, to walk in the Spirit, right? Do you know what that means? On a personal, practical level, on a daily basis, to walk in the Spirit. To have the Spirit of God prompt you, to have the Spirit of God control you, to have the Spirit of God bring conviction to your heart. Do you know what it means? To have the power of God and the Spirit of God direct what you say. I'm telling you, folks, it's very real. The Word of God is real, and Christianity is real, and the Holy Spirit of God is very real. Do you know it in a real way? Or is it religion and some concept, something out here that we say we know? Or is it applied daily in your life? You understand what I'm saying? You know what a church needs? It needs men who are full of the Holy Ghost, who have the great power of God resting upon them, who can open their mouth at the bidding of the Spirit of God and know that the Spirit of God is controlling and working and leading what I say and what I do. We're not perfect at it, but we ought to know what that means. And not just going through life on autopilot spiritually. You know what going through life on autopilot does? It puts blinders on your eyes so that you can't really see your life for what it really is. And it makes us justify certain things about the way that we live that God is not accepting of, but we are accepting of, and so we're just floating along and going with the flow and on autopilot, and the blinders are on. We can't see it for what it really is. What we need is the Holy Spirit of God. These men were chosen because they were full of the Holy Ghost, and they were to lead. But I want you to note with me what they led in, actually. They were chosen to serve. But note what the Bible actually shows us as to what they were leading in. Look at chapter 6 in verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now, those weren't church people that he was doing wonders and miracles in front of. It was people in the community. Because verse 9 says, then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. What was this Stephen doing, who was chosen to serve tables? What was he actually doing? He was out there witnessing, and he was disputing with these religious people, and the Bible says they couldn't resist the wisdom and the spirit with which he spake. Amen. Man full of the Holy Ghost. If you read all of chapter 7, you find that here Stephen is preaching Christ. Verse 1 of chapter 7, then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men, brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan. And you can go on to read here. What's happening here? Well, verse 11 says that of chapter 6 says that they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place in the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. So here he's arrested, and he's brought before the council, and he's speaking, filled with the Spirit of God. And they looked at him, and they saw his face like it was the face of an angel. And all of chapter 7, Stephen goes on to preach Jesus Christ. And they can't resist the words that he speaks. Go over to chapter 7, verse 54. Look what happened here. Chapter 7, verse 54. When they heard these things, Which things? The things he preached concerning Jesus. They were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. What do we find? Stephen, who was chosen to be a leader, what do we find him actually leading in? We don't see him making his voice heard in decision making or church policy. We see a couple verses that are given to the daily ministration in the church, but then the whole focus, it shifts and gives chapter after chapter of these men leading by example, being filled with the Spirit of God and preaching Jesus Christ. It's notable that the scriptures say a whole lot about preaching, but they don't say so much about the inward dealings of that church. Stephen, who's a man full of the Holy Ghost, has caused a stir in the community. And he's brought before the council. In all of chapter 7, he preaches to the city leaders and the religious leaders, and he just blisters them for their hypocrisy. And he preaches Jesus. He wasn't the only one. Look at chapter 8, verse 5. Chapter 8, verse 5 says, then Philip, who was another one of those seven who were chosen in Acts chapter 6, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Here's another one of those seven. The Bible says he preached and many believed. The same Philip, as we know, 20 years later, would still be serving the Lord. He's called Philip the Evangelist. Even though he was chosen to help with the physical needs, these men actually set the example for the spiritual in the life of that church. You following here? They set the example for the spiritual in the life of that church. Look at the results of all of this. Chapter 8 again, verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now, we know this came about because of persecution. But I would like to think that the persecution against Stephen, the rest of that church saw. The rest of that church knew. They saw that he was full of the Holy Ghost, and they saw that he preached with boldness. And I would like to think that, listen, when the time came for persecution to spread throughout the church, that those people were inspired by that of Stephen, and they were inspired by that of Philip, and being filled with the Spirit of God, and it caused them to want the same thing. The result of the leadership from within was that others were emboldened to preach the gospel themselves, and they spread out because of that persecution, but they went everywhere preaching the word. That was done from the people, from within. What does our church really need, folks? We need men who will stand up and who will say, you know, I've gone long enough without the power of God in my life. No more. We need men who will get serious about pursuing after God in their life. We need men, let me say it again. We need men who will really get serious about pursuing after God in their life. You know what? There's all kinds of problems that are hidden behind the scenes. There's all kinds of stuff that goes on that the devil gets his foot in the door, tries to cause problems in a church. And listen, I am telling you, if we have a church full of people who are filled with the Holy Ghost, the devil doesn't stand a chance getting his foot in the door. We need men who will seek after God in their own life. And then they'll stand up and get vocal about it. Listen, church, this is what I want to tell you, what God is doing in my life right now. I'm so thankful to the Lord for what he's doing in me, and I want you to be encouraged by it. We need men who will walk with God so closely and get fire in their soul from walking with God, and then they'll stand up and tell others about it. We need men who desire the power of God on them and on their family more than anything else, and they're going to do whatever it takes to get it. You got to get serious, though. You got to desire it in your soul. You need to want it more than anything else. You can't just float along. You can't ride on the coattails of anybody else. Maybe getting the Spirit of God and the power of God in your life means that you got to be willing to give some stuff up. Maybe it means parting with certain things that are weights that hinder and beset us. Maybe it means changing a lifestyle. Maybe it means changing a habit that's become a weight and maybe even a sin, and it's holding you back. Maybe it's time to show God you're serious. Lord, I want you more than anything else. And I know that this thing sometimes is a burden. Sometimes this thing consumes my life. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get rid of it. Because I want you more than anything else. Maybe it means getting revived in your soul and getting some things back that you've let slip. Were you more spiritual a year ago? Did you love God more at another time than you do now? Was there more fire in your soul to pursue after God at another time than it is now? You've let some things slip. Maybe you need to get revived in your soul. Get some things back. And then get vocal about it for the sake of everyone else. It's a shame if we can't stand up and say, hey brothers, hey sisters, let me tell you what the Lord is doing in my life. If we can't do that for fear of being ridiculed, or for fear of not being taken seriously. Shame. 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 We need some leadership from within. We need some men who are serious about walking with God. We need some men who are serious about pursuing after God. And then they're going to hold each other accountable. And they're going to consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We're not going to keep going with the flow. We're not going to be on autopilot. Here's a new direction. Let's go this way. Hey, brother, you want to pray with me? There's a burden on my heart. I want to share it with you. I know you'll pray with me. And you'll pray for me. And the two of you together commit to walking with God and pursuing after God. And then maybe that spreads to another person. And another person. I was telling some men the other night, one of the men who has inspired me more than anything else is my own brother-in-law, Brother Morrison. When I was young, Bible college student, stupid, carnal, not serious, really serious about the things of God. He was a disciplined man, a young man, who loved the Lord with all of his heart. And I watched him. I watched his example. And I watched his fire for the Lord. And I watched his determination. You know what? It did something to me. Number one, it made me ashamed of myself. Number two, it made me want to be different. And every morning he would get up at 5 a.m. and he would pray. We were roommates in Bible college. And every morning he'd be up at 5 a.m. praying. And you know what? I wanted to do that too. And the two of us together, we decided every morning we're going to pray together. I'd climb out of bed, put my blanket around me, and walk out into the living room. And the two of us would kneel at the couch and we'd pray every day. 5 o'clock in the morning. Pretty soon, our other roommate decided, you know, I need to be a part of that too.
all of a sudden we had a third. Every morning, 5 a.m., we pray. It wasn't too much longer. And our fourth roommate decided, you know what? I need to stop sleeping. And I need to get up and get serious about the Lord, too. And all four of us together committed to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to sharpen one another. That had a huge impact in my life and spiritual growth for me. And what I'm saying is, leadership from within can do that very thing. Instead of always just being on autopilot or just going with the flow or whatever, how about a man, a young man, get serious about pursuing God? And to grow in his life and have a fire in his soul. And stand up and talk about what the Lord is doing. And inspire somebody else and encourage somebody else and put somebody else's feet to the fire. And then maybe it's two. And then it's three. And then it's four. And the word of God will increase. God will be glorified. People will be filled with the Spirit of God. And before we can see the ministry with the natives, before we can see maybe things break open in the jail ministry, before we can see some things that maybe we're praying for, maybe we need to have a second look and realize that we each have a responsibility to get serious about pursuing after God and be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. To come to the place where we say, oh God, start that work in me. Draw me to you. Revive my heart. Things really get moving when people start buying in, as it were, to what the Word preaches and teaches. And the Word preaches and teaches that we need to be filled with the Spirit of God, and we need to love God with all of our heart. We need to start buying in and selling out for Christ. Amen? Leadership from within. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we constantly need to be reminded and challenged in our walk with you. And Father, we need the promptings of your Holy Spirit. And we need the encouragement of our brothers in the Lord and our sisters in the Lord. And our natural inclination is that the flesh is just going to dominate and rule. We become complacent and comfortable in our Christianity and be blind to the reality. Father, I pray that that would not be so with your people. That there'd be some men who are determined to pursue after God and be filled with the Spirit of God. And all the people are going to know. In the church at Jerusalem, the apostle said, you choose out men who are full of the Holy Ghost. That means that the church had to see and observe and know that these men walked with God. Paul told Timothy to be diligent in the word, that thy profiting would appear to all for himself, and that others
would see and know and be inspired themselves. Father, I pray for our church. I'm so thankful for it. But Lord, I know that there's so much more that you want out of me, that you want out of these men, out of these women. Much more that you want to do through Black Road Baptist Church. But it doesn't happen by osmosis. The power of God will be unleashed as people draw close to the Lord and are filled with the Spirit of God themselves. Encourage our hearts, challenge our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just keep our heads bowed.